Welcome, everyone, to the Top Producer Podcast. I am Paul Neefe, your host, and today we're going to have a conversation with Doug Cole, who is one of the owners of a startup company called Rise Bio. But, Doug, how are things going?
Yeah, things are going really good, Paul. I really appreciate the opportunity to be on your podcast.
Now, I think if I remember right, are you based in North Carolina? Where exactly are you based?
We're in Mount Holly, North Carolina. That's outside of Charlotte, west of Charlotte. Yeah. So.
And how's your weather this time of year?
It's been nice. You know, today it's a little bit cloudy. We've had a lot of good rain here, and so it's nice this time of year. The trees are getting green and. So spring's a good, fun time of year out here. It does get cold in the winter, but probably not as cold as, I'm sure it's not as cold as a lot of the folks listening, but it's a beautiful place to live. I have a lot of family here, and so that makes it even better. So,
well, we got the Masters coming up next week, so, that's always one of my favorite, time of the year, at least as far as watching on TV. I've never been there. I've had some friends that have been there, and they say it's pretty nice. So as we always do on these podcasts, we always like to start off with your background. So let's start off again where you grew up, went to college, what your career was before you joined the startup, and all that good stuff.
Yeah, so when people ask me that, like, where'd you grow up? I always say, well, I grew up in Georgia. Valdosta, Georgia was southern part of the state, but the fact is, I've moved around a lot. My father was a businessman, and we've lived in the Midwest. We've lived on the East Coast. Born in California, so I think that, you know, if I count all the places we lived during that growing up period, probably 12 to 13 different places. So have had a lot of exposure to a lot of different places. I say Valdosta, Georgia, because I lived 7 years there. It was the longest I lived in a place. So.
Well, and they're famous for their onions. And of course, I grew up in the Walla Walla area, which are also famous for our onions. So you always have the battle, which has the sweetest onions with Valdosta or Walla Walla. So, And I think it depends on who's running the conversation as to which one is the sweetest. And then you got the Maui onion too. So those are the three big ones.
A lot of people don't know this, but it's also a place down there is where they collect a lot of sap, right? Turpentine or things like that. So, So it's a big for that as well. But the onions are definitely a staple for them. Yeah. So
then where did you end up going to college?
So I started my in college at the University of South Carolina. I was a competitive swimmer and swam in college, largely for that. I chose University of South Carolina for that reason. I was there for 2 years. I wanted to, you know, faith is really important to me. And I felt like I wanted to have more of a Christian-based education. So in my junior year, I transferred to Oral Roberts University in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Yep.
And I met a lot of great people there. I felt like it was a better environment for me. So I finished my bachelor's degree at Oral Roberts University. I got a bachelor's degree in microbiology. And I actually also completed my master's degree in microbiology. You know, I decided to, you know, at that age, sometimes you're not quite sure what you really want to do with your life. But one thing I did realize is I was just fascinated with the study of microorganisms. And so I decided to get a PhD in microbiology. And I did that at the University of Oklahoma. While I was there, I studied how microorganisms in the soil communicate to each other. And I just think it's such a fascinating topic, and just intrigued with that invisible world of microbes that we don't obviously can't see, but are so critical to sustaining life. So,
well, let's before we go into maybe the startup and so on, let's talk a little bit about how do they communicate, or what are some of the unique facets of soil and how it breaks down nutrients and takes up nutrients and how it communicates. Let's talk about that a little bit.
Yeah. So it's, you know, on a really broad scale, doesn't only apply to soil, but all microbial communities are just that, communities. They communicate, they compete, they cooperate. There's, if you look at consider a soil sample, if you have a handful of soil, there's more microbes in that handful of soil than there are people on the earth. And that's a community of invisible organisms that are consuming, they're breaking things down. As I said, they compete, cooperate, their purpose is, you know, wanting to survive. People often think of a microorganism as just a, you know, many microbes are singles celled, and they are, they're like free floating, not interacting with the environment, but that's not true. In fact, we know now that microbes interact with not only each other, but their environment. And as an example, and we can talk about this, but, you know, my background is in healthcare, and I've spent 30 years developing diagnostics for healthcare to inform on patients and disease and things of that nature. And so, but when it comes to microorganisms, they have a tremendous impact, a profound impact on the health of humans or any animals that they exist on. And so they not only interact with each other, but for our purposes, I think it's important to know that they interact with hosts. And for instance, in the human, the gut microbiome, we're learning has a significant influence on the health of the health of people. And then if you consider, well, what type of influence do microbes have in a farm environment? You have to consider the fact that, well, plants also have guts, right? But it's just that they wear them on the outside in the form of roots. And microbes are in constant communication with those roots and the plant, providing improved nutrient uptake, improved immunity, much like they do in humans. There's a lot of interest over the last many years about the gut microbiome in human health, but less interest, I think, paid on the importance of microbes for a crop, for instance.
Yeah.
But the significance is as real for a crop as it is for a human. And so so even though you have oftentimes, you know, we focus on nutrients, and it's important to, right, in a crop situation. But what I think we're starting to better appreciate in farming is that the biology plays a role in providing health to the crops that grow, and it plays a role in improved yield and improved immunity in the crops that are grown in farms. And so that's really a large part of and a thesis of the work that we do at Rise Bio is understanding, providing information to farmers on that biological potential, what we call it, the biological potential of a soil system. And
I was going to say, are there bad microbes in the soil? Is there good microbes, or is they all sort of interact together? I'm just sort of curious on if there are bad ones.
Oh yeah, there are pathogens that are detrimental to the thing we care about, which is the crop. And much like there are pathogenic microbes in animals and humans, that the same is true for plants. And oftentimes, it's the imbalance within the microbial community that exists that can cause the emergence of pathogens. It's why it's important in all living systems that when the system you care about, whether it's your body or the crop, for the purpose of sustainable and sustainable health and growth, it's important to have a balanced, healthy community that is interacting with that host. And so when there's imbalance, there can be emergence of pathogenesis, because you have, I guess we call them bad actors within that community that can cause disease. And so definitely there are pathogens that can, reduce yield and cause disease in crops.
Okay. So, you mentioned Rise Bio. So, what led you to, because I think you started that with your son. So let's go into the history of Rise Bio, how it started and all that good stuff.
Yeah. All right. I think that if people ask me that, I often go back to my formal training as a microbiologist. And, so after studying soil microbe communication, I decided that I wanted to go on to a career in developing diagnostics to detect the pathogenic microbes in humans. And so I did a clinical post-op up at the Mayo Clinic to be trained on how to do this, and I'm board certified medical laboratory director, board certified in public health microbiology. And so I've spent 30 years in that space and in developing diagnostics and commercializing, validating, and to these tests that help physicians to detect disease. Now, I also, throughout my career, also started to expand into chronic disease detection. I was a pioneer in the area of something called metabolomics, which is the ability to take a sample and measure all the small molecules that are in that sample to provide information that's important. And how we would use that, we would discover biomarkers or bioindicators within this data to help us to develop assays for chronic disease, such as prediabetes or a kidney function failure, things of this nature. And one thing that I also was involved with is the study of the human gut microbiome and understanding how imbalances in the gut microbiome can lead to disease in humans. And so that exposure to that type of technology was critical in the founding of Rise Bio. So if I could just take a step back and talk about the technology, there are techniques that have been developed over the last 10 to 15 years that are referred to as systems biology tools. And these include, for instance, metagenomics. Metagenomics is technologies that allow us to take a sample. It can be any sample. Let's take, for instance, soil sample, and we can extract the DNA of that soil sample, and we can profile the entire microbial community. We can tell what microbes are there, what is their their genus and species names. We can also say what type of functional genes they have, what type of genes they have, for instance, that can improve crop immunity or tolerance to stress. So that's a metagenomics. And then there's transcriptomics, which is a study of all the RNA in a system. And there's proteomics, which is a study of proteins, and metabolomics, which is a study of molecules. So that's a really, in the area of science, in particular as it relates to diagnostics and informing on a biological system, these system biology tools have just transformed healthcare. Now, as in regard to the founding of, and I have had a lot of exposure to those tools. And so in regard to the founding of Rise Bio, as you said, my son Josh is my co-founder, and he, yeah, this was probably 3 years ago, and I kind of had always wanted to start a business, but I've got a family of entrepreneurs, and I was, in fact, the only one of my 8 siblings that didn't go on to have own my own business. I took the scientific slash career route, working with various companies to develop diagnostics. And so this was several years ago, and he said, "Dad, you know, I love being an entrepreneur, and I think what you have your experience is something that would be really cool to be involved with a startup like that." So we started talking about the approach we would take, and you know, after all the years I've had studying chronic disease in humans, I really wanted to get into this space of be able to have an impact in improving or reducing the incidence of chronic disease. And we spent several months looking at ways we could do that, how we could fit into have impact in some type of approach we might take. And we have a family that does regenerative farming, and start talking to them about how they are informed, how they get information on the biology of their soil. And I thought that the technologies that they described, such as microscopy and whatnot, were very antiquated, and felt like, wow, there's real opportunities to bring to bear some of these new and advanced technical tools to farming, to inform on the biological potential within soil. And that was the founding of Rise Bio. We started in June of 2022. So it's been, we're coming up on our second year anniversary. We've made a lot of great progress, and we feel like the value that we're bringing to farming there is going to be significant. And granted, this is a new technology, and we're discovering, there's a lot of discovery to be made. So Josh and I, we're co-founders, and I know some people ask, well, yes, and by the way, we're a startup, right? We're a ag tech startup. So, you know, we need funding. We need to be able to keep it going. A lot of the challenges that we've had are in regard to trying to find like the market fit for what we do. And it's through interactions with farmers and agronomists that we're finding that value, where we add the value. So it's been a incredible journey, a lot of ups and downs. Josh and I work well together. He's the business development guy. That's his background, and I'm the technical guy. I'm the CEO. He's the chief operations officer. We're a small group. It's 4 people, and we have our lab here, as I said, in Mount Holly, North Carolina, and it's been a, you know, the the best part of our job is to interact with farmers, have them try our technology, and then follow up to understand how, what value that this, the approach we're taking has to them. And it, and we've been really encouraged so far by the feedback.
Is there any particular crop that you are focusing on, or is it, you know, any crop would benefit, or I'm just curious if there's anything that you're differentiated that way.
No, we are pretty much a crop agnostic. It just turns out that obviously we're primarily working in corn and soybean are currently. Yeah. So,
well, those are the major crops. That's 180 million acres. So, you know, it's going to be 2/3 of the land base is based on those two crops. So, is there, well, you probably haven't gotten this far yet, but I'll ask it anyway, and you can tell me if I'm, is there particular regions of the country that have more activity, less activity? Is the type of soil, so if you got clay versus sandy versus loam, you know, is there differences on how those micro nutrients or how that works and so on?
Oh yeah, absolutely. So the texture of soil samples is really important in regard to the microbial community. And so I mean, you could have a sandy soil versus your loam. It's significantly different. What we like to point out, however, is that regardless of the texture, that the ability to profile that system, get a baseline, is important, because any soil can be improved in regard to the biological potential. And so the important comparison is more of a longitudinal comparison, that you have a starting point, and you have ideas on how you can improve the biological potential within the soil. And then you make management decisions, and you track that biological potential. And I think that so often we have, you know, farmers get a lot of data on fertility, which is critical. We know that's an important component, but we don't often think about the biological component within soil. We sometimes call it the natural capital within soil, that if you take certain management practices and apply them, that you can improve the potential within the soil, for instance, to cycle nitrogen or phosphorus to the plant. The potential, for instance, to improve drought tolerance, things of this nature. So that's what we're trying to do in regard to informing farmers on the importance of being able to track the biology, the natural capital within soil. And we're just starting. I think that over time, as we get more data, as we learn more about some of these approaches that can improve the natural capital within soil, I think that we then have a management decision that can be made on the information we provide. It's important. It's critical. Or any kind of service that like we provide information. That's, we don't sell it. We don't sell products. We provide information. And I've got years of experience in this, in diagnostics, and the only value of any piece of information is whether or not someone can take action on it. And I feel like if you consider healthcare, 90% of the patient management decisions made in healthcare is based on information. And I think that, I don't know that we're there yet with farming, but I feel like technologies, and we hope that technologies we're developing will play a role here. We believe they will. I think that information that farmers can have on their systems can improve the decisions they make. And that's our goal, is to provide information that will result in a management decision. Because if we don't do that, we're really providing no value to the farmer. And so that's been in the almost 2 years of work we've been doing is to develop this technology to meet a need. And if we don't do that, then, you know, we're not going to be around very long. But we feel like we've got some really, really interesting tests that we've developed and that we feel like will be really important to farmers. And so far in our initial work we've done with various farmers around the country, we're getting really positive feedback on the approach we're taking.
Okay, yep. Well, Doug, we're going to go ahead and take a quick break for a sponsored message, and I'll come back and have some discussion a little bit more on being a startup, and then we'll finish up with the four key questions I always tend to ask.
How many years away is the long run for a farmer? 5 years? 10 years? Top producers like Hans Reinschi, a Blue Diamond farming company in Jessup, Iowa, know Raboegger Finance shares his enduring vision for the future.
Whether it's building our grain site, or if it's purchasing the next field, we're able to turn to Rabo as a trusted partner to help us get financing to make those generational decisions.
With unmatched financial capacity, local relationship managers, and a global network of sector experts to offer market guidance, Raboegger Finance provides enterprising farmers with a personalized approach to lending and financial services. Growing a better world together, Raboegger Finance.
Welcome everyone back to the Top Producer Podcast. I am Paul Leaf, your host, and we're going to rejoin our conversation with Doug Kroll from Rise Bio, an ag startup company based in North Carolina. Doug, I just wanted to ask a couple questions. You know, you've done a startup. It sounds like your family, you're one of eight siblings, and they've all done some type of entrepreneurial activity. What are the good parts of being a startup, and maybe what are the pitfalls of being a startup?
Yeah, so I would say for me, and that I think this isn't necessarily true for every startup founder, but I mean, I enjoy being able to work with my son. Sometimes we get questions from potential investors about that, concern about working with family, and I my response to that is, well, our customers, all of them are, you know, a lot of farmers have family businesses, so they know. Josh and I work well together, so that's, I enjoy that aspect. The other thing that is I like is that as a scientist, I get to invent things. Being able to invent technologies that no one's invented and that are going to have an impact is a really satisfying outcome for me. It's why I got into science. It's why I got into diagnostics. I wanted to have a positive impact on the world, and I think that for the current, and I've done a lot of research in my past roles, but here it's where we are. I think that the level of work we're doing here is and in this kind of a new space, new application in farming, has been amazing and very rewarding on that level. The challenge, I think the pitfall for us is that a lot of the, you know, it's just Josh and I, and so we make the decisions, and I've had to learn to make a decision and just plow forward, right? So ruminate. You can't ruminate. And I have in my past roles tended to, I think, ruminate. Being a scientist, I want the data. And we've been able to generate in this, you know, the first year and a half of our work, a lot of data to that allows has allowed us to develop a solution for farmers. And so, but that, you know, reliance upon, you know, there's no backup, and it, you, we all have to wear different hats, right? Take out the garbage, you have to sweep the floors, or, you know, it's there. There's going from and it being an executive in large corporations, and then working in this small startup environment is new. But I kind of like the there's a lot of freedom in it, and of course it's not cheap to start up a high tech company like ours, and so we have a lot of partners that have come alongside us to believe in us. And it's interesting to consider our partners initially, the first ones that started to invest in us really believe in us, right? And the next group of partners we have to convince to come alongside us are people that are going to believe in what we're doing. And so that we have market traction. And so that's the next stage. We're just launching a new service that's we call Rise Response. And this service is a testing service that helps farmers understand whether or not a biological input, whether their soil will respond to a biological input. And so sometimes, as you know, these products, there are a lot of them on the market. In fact, yep. 1,200 companies are selling products in the U.S.-based farmers. And sometimes they work and sometimes they don't. And the reason is that soil's different. Every farm has a different, every field has a different soil type and can respond to these products invariably. And so we have found we've developed our technology in a way that allows farmers to know before they have to invest tens of thousands of dollars in those kinds of products, whether or not they'll respond. And so we've had a really good, there's been a lot of interest in it. And so that's, as we develop these new technologies and we also patent these technologies to protect our IP. Those are the things, the assets that, number one, provide value to our customer. And then number two, give us credibility when we talk to, it provides value to our customer, and it also provides evidence to potential investors that, hey, this is something that I'd like to invest in. It has legs. It's going to really have impact. It's going to have value to the farming community. And that's when we get, that's where we get traction on that side. So in going back to your question, I bring it back. I think that there's two, we have to have traction on the sales side, because that gives evidence to potential investors that these guys have something and that we want to partner with them, because we need that. We to do what we have to have a runway of funding to allow us to get to the point to make profit, to be profitable. And so I wouldn't call that. I think that you asked what the pitfalls is, that a pitfall there is that if we're not successful in raising funds, then we're kind of in a really vulnerable point right now, as any startup at some point is to find, but driving that investment has to be adoption, has to be sales. So it's kind of a two-sided thing there.
Yeah. Well, Doug, I always like to end with a couple questions or three or four questions. So first, did you have a mentor in this process along the way?
Well, my mentor, John, I have John Downard, is my mentor from my PhD program. He taught me how to use my mind in an analytical way. So he's my scientific mentor. I've had a number of amazing bosses along the way in various companies. Sohail Mehta, Mike Milburn. These are like chief scientific officers and executives that mentored me in how to run a business and how to provide value in the marketplace. I have older brothers who are mentors to me, good, strong Christian men that have mentored me and support me in what we're doing. So couldn't do it without all those guys. And I would even consider, my father and my mother, obviously mentors in providing me with the environment at home to grow up, to be a productive, respectful, and, a man of faith that I think is really important in my journey in this world. So
now you're a startup, but do you have a time for any hobbies?
Oh yeah. Well, less time than I did in the past, but, as I mentioned briefly, I was a swimmer in college. So I like to swim. I like to stay in shape by swimming. So that I consider that a hobby. I like to read books. I enjoy the thing I enjoy most though is to spending time with my family and hiking. And so I have four children and ages 24 to 30, and they're getting on with their life. One's married. So it's fun to see them progress in their life.
Yeah.
So
I have the four grandkids, and they're definitely fun to watch them grow up. So
No grandkids yet for me, but I think that's going to happen in the next couple of years.
Oh yeah, it definitely does. Is there? And I think you've already mentioned a little bit. Is there anything that keeps you up at night?
Yeah, it does. There are some things. Obviously, primarily it's business and startup type things. You know, when you're starting something from scratch, there's nothing's in place. And if you don't put it in place, it's not going to be done. So, I mean, there's business contracts, legal aspects. There's the technology development. It just goes on and on. And so I would say I sleep pretty well, but there are times when I don't. And it's typically if I can't sleep, it's something that I'm thinking through related to Rise Bio.
Finally, what's your definition of success in farming? I mean, you've been around a lot of farmers. Is there something you've seen that's sort of a core technique of being successful?
Well, I think that when you ask like what is the success of farming is a business, and I think the definition of a successful business is profit. And in the case of farming, it is profits correlated with yield. And so I think success in farming is to improve yield and profit. How do we get there? And I think that in my mind, of course, I may be biased because of our focus on the soil, but I think that the most important asset the farmer has is its soil, is the soil. And I believe that we are just, I think that there are a lot of advancements that can be made in informing on soil. And I think we're just starting. I think in the future, in addition to fertility data, there's going to be other information that farmers can derive from testing and then making changes on the soil, and to foster that asset soil in a way that helps them to grow crops that produce better yield, to put more money in their pocket. So I think that's, for me, the definition of success in farming is to improve the performance of soil.
Okay. Well, good. Thanks a lot, Doug, for this. Is, I think this is for sure my first ag startup podcast that we've had. So is there anything else you'd like to add before we sign off?
No, I just thank you, Paul, for this opportunity. And I think that it's I would say this, that it's my first podcast I've done. And so it's an honor.
Well, thank you a lot, Doug. Again, this is the Top Producer Podcast, and this is Paul Neefe, your host, signing off.